Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. We are joined right now by Alexander Zelbin, managing editor for TV Guide, making a return appearance here on the show. How are you, Alexander? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you guys. Hope you're staying warm.
We're trying our best. It's not been easy. It really hasn't.
Although it's a perfect time to stay inside and binge watch things on TV.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
If I only have... there was some way to do that, if they could just invent a way to watch every episode of a show at the same time. Alexander, I want to roll you into a conversation we were having earlier. The Golden Globes are this Sunday. It's the first major award show since the harassment scandal in Hollywood. It will certainly be addressed. Seth Meyers has said that it will be addressed, but it's going to be a very awkward evening, don't you think?
I think so, particularly because Golden Globes tends to be the boozy fun awards, and Hollywood is anything but right now. You know, there's a couple of ways initially that they're planning on addressing it. All of the women are planning on wearing black. The men have said they're going to wear black, which doesn't seem like too much of a stretch, and people have been making fun of them, frankly, a little bit for that. And Seth Meyers, of course, like you said, is going to address it, at the very least in his monologue, which... should be a very interesting thing to do because it's certainly no laughing matter in terms of what they're talking about. Ultimately, my guess is that they're going to refocus the award ceremony a little more on the awards rather than people getting drunk in the crowd like they usually do.
Yeah, yeah. What about Game of Thrones? There was an announcement made about the final season of Game of Thrones, and it's not going to air at all. There's not going to be even a single new episode of Game of Thrones this year. Is that correct?
Yeah, it sounds like they're taking a little bit of a page from George R. R. Martin's book and taking their time with releasing the next season. It's not entirely unexpected. It's a 6-episode season. The episodes are going to be longer. Rumors are that they're almost going to be movie length, each one. So it won't be coming out until 2019. But ultimately, you know, if that's what it takes to get all the effects and everything looking as good as possible, I'm all for it.
Alexander, this has been such a huge hit for HBO, Game of Thrones, from day one. It's just been a juggernaut hit. At some point, they're going to spin off at least one or two sequels, right? They've got to keep this storyline alive.
They're working on 4 of them right now.
Wow.
You know, they've been very careful to say that there's no guarantees that any of these spinoffs are ever going to happen, though, like you said, chances are at least one of them will. But they're taking a page from Hollywood blockbusters, where they'll often have multiple teams working on a big script for, say, a Transformers movie or a Pirates of the Caribbean movie or something like that. So they're working on 4 entirely different spinoff ideas right now. We don't know anything about them at all. No plot. Plenty of people have speculation. There's prequel stories that George R. R. Martin has written about characters named Duck and Egg, so maybe it focuses on them. Maybe it's something that takes place afterwards. We don't know. But like you said, it's too important for HBO for them not to follow this up in some way.
Did anyone even guess when they first announced that this would be a show, Game of Thrones, did anyone ever in their wildest dreams think it would be the huge hit that it became?
I don't think so. I mean, the novels had a diehard fan base who are really excited for it, but it's hit something in the zeitgeist. I mean, so much so that I was having a conversation in the office the other day. Amazon plunked out $200 million for the rights to Lord of the Rings to do a series. They don't have an idea. They don't have a creator. They don't have anything. They just bought the rights to do something with Lord of the Rings. And the conversation we're having in the office is, that's all because of Game of Thrones. So George R. R. Martin, when he wrote the novels, very clearly and very publicly has been inspired by Lord of the Rings, but at least when it comes to TV, it's almost flipped, where Game of Thrones is the primo property and Lord of the Rings is the thing that they're almost spinning off of it in a way, which is bananas.
Yeah. Let's move on to one of your favorite shows. Oh, go on, Wendy. Were you going to ask one?
No, Bill, I was going to ask you if you've heard or seen anything about Black Mirror.
Yeah.
And Alexander, it's an amazing series, which has been likened to like The Twilight Zone or Tales from the Dark Side or something like that, with a British twist. Would that be a fair analogy?
I think so. It's very, which you might be able to intuit from the title if you've never seen it before, it's very technology-based. So every episode takes a really, really dark look at technology. There are very few episodes that are cheery or have a hopeful, happy ending in any sort of way whatsoever. But surprisingly, the most recent season, which just hit on Netflix, actually has two episodes that personally I'd recommend just for at least being a little more positive. The first one is USS Callister. It stars Jesse Plemons from Breaking Bad and Friday Night Lights. Jimmy Simpson, who was on Westworld, is on it. Christy Milioti, who is the mother on How I Met Your Mother, is on it. And it's almost a parody of old Star Trek and fandom and toxic masculinity, but in a really dark way, in a scary way, but also a very fun way. And then the second one, there's an episode called Hang the DJ that takes a look at dating apps. And I don't want to say too much more about it, but it's very sweet and very romantic and definitely worth checking out.
So those two episodes, again, are USS Callister and Hang the DJ. Those are the two standalone episodes. If you've not seen it, these are good ways to indoctrinate yourself into that kind of bizarre world.
It's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, just know that after that, you're going down a very deep, dark hole.
Yeah, I agree.
And see, Bill, I was telling you this before, and Alexander, maybe you could talk about this. I had my knee replaced. I'm coming back from surgery, and I started watching Ozark and then Black Mirror. And these are like terribly down, bad things and dysfunction. And it's like, I don't think these are good things to watch when you're trying to recover from a surgery.
No, absolutely not. I mean, to be honest with you, when my wife and I had our first kid, and I've heard this from other couples who have been trapped in the house with a new baby for a while, you tend to watch some very dark, weird shows. I have a friend who just had a baby, and he's binge watching Law and Order SVU.
Oh, good call.
So, I don't know. There's something that I guess.
What's wrong with us?
That we feel trapped. I don't know. I don't know what's wrong with humanity, but we'll get out of it somehow.
They've brought back a show, Alexander, that is one of Wendy's all-time favorites and was formerly one of mine, but I think it absolutely jumped the shark. The X-Files came back, and people are not happy with their biggest revelation, huh?
No, so I don't know.
It started already?
Yeah, it started a few nights ago.
Oh, darn it. Spoiler alerts.
I don't know how much we want to talk to this about the twist for those who haven't heard it, but there was a bit of a twist with what we thought was Mulder and Scully's kid.
Right. Don't say what it is. Don't say specifically what it is. But we thought we knew what was going on with their son William, but then we find out that we don't know what's going on with their son.
Yeah, exactly. And this is something that I think has been a longstanding problem, particularly with recent X-Files or later seasons of the X-Files, is when the show started, people were so into the continuity and the mystery. But the more they unravel about that and the more they reveal about that, the angrier the fans get. While I think they've actually had more success at this point with the standalone episodes, the Monster of the Week episodes, they used to be called.
Yeah.
The good news for fans of this season is the first episode of the season, the last episode of the season are the continuity episodes. But between that, as far as we've heard, they're all Monster of the Week. So if you're really turned off by this new premiere, feel free to tune in for the second episode.
Their strong point was always those Monster of the Week episodes. You know, the show was very much inspired by an old show called Kolchak the Night Stalker with Darren McGavin. Chris Carter says, he comes right out and says, yeah, without that show, we don't have X-Files. I was so influenced by it. And they used to do Monster of the Week, and it was always fun. But when they'd get off on these tangents about the inside personal workings of Mulder and Scully, they kind of keep going south on us, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why I'm looking forward to whatever's coming next in the season, because that'll get back to that fun part. They'll be able to riff, try out different genres, invent new weird monsters. You know, if you look at the stuff from the last revival season, that's what fans spark to, not the things about the overarching mysteries.
Yep. Alexander,
and, you know,
oh, go on,
they went away for a while. You know, it's like we loved Scully and Mulder, and then they were out of our habit for a while. So I don't really care about them too much anymore. I just want to see the weird stuff.
Yeah, well, you're definitely going to see that coming up. It gets pretty
weird.
Good.
Their last episode from a season or two ago was so bad. It was one of the worst things I've ever seen on TV.
Yeah,
so bad.
Yeah, you hated it.
It swore me off of the show. I hated that episode so much that I said, I can't even watch the show anymore. It was that bad. So I hope they refine their way.
I think they will. And I think I would take a look. What my feeling about these recent revival seasons is certainly, I know the networks would like me to probably say, watch it live and share it with all your friends, but ultimately taking a look at it afterwards and hearing from friends, okay, these were the standout episodes, these were the fun ones, that almost might be a better way to go at it,
sure,
because then you can really pick out the ones that popped for people versus, say, this premiere, which was divisive, to say the very least.
Interesting move. It's Alexander Zubin, managing editor over at TV Guide. We'll be back with more next. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN. Do a cover story on that, Alexander, over at TV Guide. Our friend Pat Tomasulo, they gave him his own TV show. Could you do a cover story?
Guess not.
I don't blame you for not wanting to. Alexander Zubin is our guest. He's the managing editor of TV Guide, the publication that refuses to put Pat Tomasulo on the cover. I know this isn't...
Sorry about that. No, we'll get around to it eventually.
Please, whatever. All right. I know this isn't on the list of things you wanted to talk about, but I'm curious. There's a few revivals that are in the works. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you know about them. One of them is a reworking of One Day at a Time, but with a Hispanic cast. Is this coming up soon? Is it any good?
Yeah, it's great, actually. The first season is already on Netflix, and I believe I'm going to try to find the premiere date for you, but it's coming January 26th. That's the second season premiere. In a similar way to the original, which was created by Norman Lear, how that really embraced societal issues and looked at family in a very different way, taking it and bringing in a Hispanic cast has given it fresh new life, and it's really kind of wonderful. I mean, it's an old school sitcom in the same way that Fuller House came back and was kind of the same thing. But it's very heartwarming. It's really smart. It's very funny. And the good news is it's on Netflix, so you can watch every single episode at the same time.
Alexander, the novelty of it the first time it came out, One Day at a Time in the 70s, was the almost taboo subject of a divorced woman raising her own children. Everybody was shocked that a divorced woman could raise children on her own without a husband around. There's no more shock in that anymore. So what's the twist this time? Is there a twist?
It's not necessarily a twist, but in a similar way, it doesn't shy away from harsh realities of life. You know, you have an Army veteran is one of the characters, and so you're dealing a lot with PTSD and alcoholism and traumatic brain injuries, things like that. Again, it's not like the shocking twist in a certain way, but it just doesn't shy away from these things, and it deals with them in a very different and very smart way.
Any kind of Schneider, the superintendent, like they had last time, the super would come and fix not only their problems, but their plumbing?
Well, I mean, Stephen Tobolowsky is on it, if that's the kind of thing that you're looking
for. He's a Chicagoan. I know him. Yeah, he's great.
There you go.
Good. All right. So
does he have a tool belt?
He has to have a tool belt.
No, he doesn't have a tool belt. Well, hopefully, fingers crossed, season two.
All right. So that's the new One Day at a Time, and still called One Day at a Time, right? They've kept that title?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's correct.
All right. Now, here's a couple that were rumored, and I don't know if you know if they're coming back or not, but the first one is Mad About You with Paul Reiser. Is Mad About You coming back to TV?
That is, I would definitely categorize that as a rumor at the current time. You know,
that was the best show on TV. Didn't you all want to have their relationship?
Loved it. The Buckmans.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, as it is right now, they're talking about it. You know, all of these other revivals have done so well, and people are really looking for something nostalgic that they remember at the current time. So I would not be surprised if it comes back and they are talking to Paul Reiser and Helen Hunt about reprising their roles. But right now, it's not as firm as other ones, like, say, Will and Grace, which is currently on, or Roseanne, which is coming up later this month.
And Paul Reiser is not just sitting around. I mean, he had a very good year on Stranger Things, and he's done some good movie work in the last year or two. So he's been really busy lately.
Yeah, he also, as a producer as well, behind the scenes, he has a couple of shows. He has Red Oaks on Amazon, and I'm actually blanking on the name, but there's another show that he just sold to Amazon that should be coming up soon, I believe.
Good. All right, so now here's another show. I heard about this about a week and a half ago, and it was all over the place for a day or two and just kind of evaporated. Evidently, the president of NBC wants there to be more episodes of The Office. Do you know anything about this?
Again, this is very much a rumor, but I thought this was an interesting one. It's not out of the realm of possibility to bring The Office back in some form, because I know people look at it as, oh, it was this wonderful sitcom. It starts Steve Carell, and then after he moved on, it continued for a while with Ed Helms at the helm. But it started as a British TV show, and there's been nearly a dozen international takes on The Office. So even though there are a lot more episodes in the United States, it's not like it's necessarily a limited concept, you know? So if they do bring it back for a limited run, what I'd be most curious about is which cast members would return. Sure. Because at this point, all of them are so busy with other things. I couldn't imagine, say, John Krasinski returning for more of The Office, but would one of the other cast members return? Mindy Kaling? Probably not, but I don't know. I think it would be interesting to see more Office, frankly, but that's even more of a rumor, I would say, than Mad About You.
You know, remember when they brought Arrested Development back and everybody said, well, the cast is so busy right now, how are they going to swing this? And they shot it in a weird way where they shot all the characters kind of separately. Could they possibly do that? Would that work?
I don't think that would work for The Office. I mean, it barely worked for Arrested Development, frankly, because it always felt very strange in those scenes. I mean, I guess if I was to play armchair producer or showrunner, I could see them doing standalone episodes focusing on each of the characters and their lives now. So maybe we'd see a Pam and Jim episode, and we'd see a Dwight episode, maybe even a Michael Scott episode. That would be kind of neat.
Except the camaraderie of all of them is what is so unique and wonderful.
Yeah,
exactly. So you'd really need to capture that. Plus, the way it's filmed is so much more realistic because of the nature of the piece that I don't know if they could do it the same way as Arrested Development.
I just want Creed back. I know it's selfish, but that's all I want is more Creed. Please.
That's what it is. It's Creed in the lead.
The other one I think is coming to Hulu, and that's Animaniacs. That's a given, right? They're bringing that one back.
That is. That was actually just announced yesterday. I'm a huge Animaniacs fan, so I'm very excited about this. But they are bringing the show back for two seasons guaranteed on Hulu starting in 2020. And this is Hulu's first family show, which from the TV Guide perspective, I thought was really interesting because they've had a lot of success recently with more adult shows like Handmaid's Tale. So now they're pushing towards family as well. They want to be your one-stop shop for everything streaming. But it'll be great. Steven Spielberg is on board as executive producer again. I don't know that they've firmed down any of the other cast or creators, but we'll see what happens.
It's one of those shows, even though it's geared towards kids, it's kids' animation. It really is a very smart and well-written show. I hope that continues because every episode I ever saw of it made me laugh out loud. Really a funny show.
Yeah, it's great. It's super smart. It's essentially a sketch comedy show like Saturday Night Live, but with animation.
Yeah.
As long as they keep the title song line, Bill Clinton plays the sax, I'm into it.
Right. Very funny.
And I don't know if you know the answer to this, but when we had Curb Your Enthusiasm come back, what was there, a 6-year waiting period between that?
Mm-hmm.
Is it coming back again? Will we have to wait another 6 years? Any news on that for Curb?
It is. I believe there was an official announcement about that already, but they are coming back for another season of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
That's
in
good
6 years?
Yeah, I don't think it'll be another 6 years. I actually think it'll be sooner than that. Probably, it'll probably be sometime next year, most likely.
Oh, wow.
Surprise later this year. We'll see.
Very, very good. Wendy, there's a listener that has a suggestion for you. You said how much you like to binge watch. Nina's on the line. Hi, Nina. How are you?
Hi, fine, thank you. Recuperating from hand surgery.
Oh, sister in surgery.
Right. That's why I took the time to call and suggest you watch Offspring. It's an Australian series on Netflix.
And about what, Nina? What's the subject matter on Offspring?
It's a crazy family, and the main character is a woman obstetrician. So a lot of it takes place on a maternity floor in a hospital. She has trouble holding her lovers. It's just a crazy family. But it's really well done, and it holds you. It gives you laughs. It makes you think. You don't know what's happening next. And I had a good time watching it.
And Nina, I don't know if you know this, but Wendy speaks Australian.
Oh, really?
Yeah, fluent. Yep. Well, thank you. I hope your hand's feeling better.
Thank you, and good luck to Wendy's knee.
Oh,
thank
so
you,
nice.
Nina.
Thanks, Nina.
Not me, but to my knee.
To your knee
the
only.
Offspring.
Alexander, do you know that show, The Offspring? Are you a fan?
No, I've actually never heard about it before, but now I kind of want to hurt my hand and check it out.
It's one of those shows that's somehow better with a hurt hand. Nobody knows why. It just is. Really, really quick, we have about a minute. What's coming up on television that you're looking most forward to? What's coming up in the next few days or weeks or months that you can't wait to see?
Well, there's a bunch of shows premiering. One that I'm really excited for is called Good Girls. It's going to be on NBC. It stars Mae Whitman, Christina Hendricks from Mad Men, and Retta from Parks and Recreation. And it's kind of almost like a Breaking Bad with women, where they try to rob a grocery store. That's their bad decision that they make at the beginning, and mm-hmm. it spirals out of control from there. And I think it's going to be pretty funny and pretty heartfelt at the same time, and the actresses involved are fantastic, so that should be awesome. Also, Black Lightning premieres on the CW on January 16th.
The superhero Black Lightning?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's great. It's does not back down from race issues, but at the same time is a really smart, well-done superhero show with a great ensemble cast. So it's unconnected, by the way, to the rest of the CW superhero shows. Mm-hmm. So if you're worried about jumping into that world, you don't have to worry about that for this one. So that should be very good. And then the next day on FX is The Assassination of Gianni Versace, American Crime Story, which is following up on 2016's The People versus O.J. Simpson.
Yeah.
It's Ryan Murphy, who produced the first one, as well as American Horror Story. But it has a ridiculously amazing cast. And if it is even an iota as good as People versus O.J. Simpson, it should be something special.
Excellent. Alexander, we appreciate your time and hope you have a great weekend and a good new year.
You too. Happy New Year, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Alexander Zelbin, managing editor of TV Guide. You can go to tvguide.com and all the information is there. Break, Jasmine? Yeah, okay, a quick break and then we'll throw it to news and then we'll find out what your odds are of being the big Powerball lottery winner. We'll talk to a numbers expert that's coming up in just a little bit. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.